Om Shanti, good afternoon, good evening everyone. And may I ask who arrived today, who was not at the welcome and arrived during the day today? Is there anybody here? So welcome, welcome, welcome home. This evening is actually our first class, which is part of the 14-day special program for all the double foreigners. And we're delighted to have Sister Jenti with us. The topic of the class is Be Simple, Be Sample, an expression that Baba uses in the Murli. And I know Baba has many times blessed Jenti Ben as being an example who will make many others like herself. And looking through some pictures of Jenti Ben 20, 30 years ago, apart from the grey hair, she looked exactly the same. So simple, so simple. And when I speak to her, I find the clarity and the simplicity in her diction, the way she speaks, the way she explains. Nothing complicated. So the external simplicity, the internal ability to be so clear. We've got the best instrument to give us this class today. Who's meeting Jenti Ben for the first time? Who's never been exposed to Jenti? Okay, there are a few people. Yeah. Sister Jenti has been with Baba since 1968, and she's been in London. Jenti Ben and her family were instrumental in starting service in London since the early 1970s. She's one of our most senior sisters in the Western world. And it's our real honor to have her here to open the double foreign season with the first class. Thank you, Jenti Ben.
Om Shanti. Good evening. And yes, it is an honor. It's not just the first season, the first day officially of the season for double foreigners, but it's actually also the first day of the whole year in terms of Baba's meetings. And so this theme was suggested way, way back in February. And at that time we were planning all our regional meetings also. So the regional meetings have taken up the same theme with different subtitles. And so here in Madhuban, not just a simple life of Gyan and Yoga, but Baba's words of simple and sample. Sister Sona mentioned a few things about simple. And yes, all of those things are absolutely true. And I'd like to begin from the external and move internally. Because when we come to Baba, we find that it becomes easy to simplify many things in our life. I'm sure that this is something that you have found. Somebody was telling me that after being with Baba for about a year or two, when they looked at their tax returns, they were self-employed, so they looked at their tax returns from the year prior when they'd come to Baba, and after they'd come to Baba, and there was a big difference in terms of the costs, the money that they'd spent before and the money they were spending afterwards. So restaurants go out, makeup goes out, jewelry goes out, fashion goes out, many things go out. And it's not a sense of deprivation, but it's a sense of, well, what do I need all of this for? And so on an external level, simplifying our life means all of these extra things that now you say you don't really need at all. And yet life is a lot happier, life is a lot sweeter, a lot more comfortable than it used to be before. And so externally it's very easy. But also nowadays they talk about decluttering and simplifying everything on that external level too, and that people recognize that the external clutter is an indication of the internal also. But of course, more it's the internal, and yes, it then gets reflected in the external, but internally, what is it that we're doing? Simplicity inside means cleanliness, it means honesty, it means innocence, it means purity. So those are big words to start with. And the word simple actually encompasses all of these things. But think about it yourself. When your intentions are clean, very pure, there's nothing that you want for yourself, then what's going on in here? The thoughts are very clean, very clear, and whatever you express, whatever you say, is very simple. You don't need to make it very complicated at all. Think about children and how if children want to tell a story, the story that they'll spin becomes quite complicated. It becomes round and around and go about and here and there and try to distract you from what they're actually saying. And yet whenever it's something that they share with you in a simple way, then it's more likely to be the truth. And when you hear them go round and about and this and this and this and this, then you know that there's something not quite right. It's a story that's being spun. And so when there's something that's honest and clear, it is very simple. When you talk about a web, you're not talking about simplicity. You're usually talking about deception, the web of deception. And so you're not just telling a story, but you're creating a whole background and complex situation, and everything gets a little bit tangled. And that's what deception is all about. And what is it that I'm trying to do? Why did I come to Baba? I didn't know the word Sattu Pradhan when I came to Baba, neither in concept or in language. And in fact, there isn't really a proper English translation of this word Sattu Pradhan, because we don't have those levels of Sattu, Rajo, Tamo defined in the same way that they have in India. But yes, definitely the Tamo Pradhan state, the state of chaos. And when the mind is in a state of chaos, it's very far from simplicity. And you come to the state of Rajo, and it's a little bit mixed, a little bit here and a little bit there. And when it comes to Sattu, everything is very clean, very simple, very clear. And so the purpose of coming to Baba was actually just simply Baba's love. I didn't know it was going to entail anything more than that. I loved the knowledge, and yes, I loved Baba. But once you start understanding more and more, then you realize that the expression of Baba's love is, the purpose of Baba's love is to be able to purify the soul. Today is really very clear. What is my task? My task is to come and purify the impure. And so today I look at myself, however long my journey has been, and I ask myself the question, how far have I come on this journey of purification? Baba's love, Baba's power, everything that Baba is, everything that Baba has is available. And then it's up to me to take whatever it is I can and I want and I can manage and use all of that to cleanse the soul and come back to that state of simplicity. The deities are very innocent, and that's because their head isn't full of all sorts of nonsense and stuff. And when, because of their innocence and purity, the communication can be very, very simple. And when the mind is clear and clean, then the communication is simple and short and sweet. A lot can be explained just simply through drishti. Don't need to spend hours trying to explain, getting into a debate, getting into arguments. And so it's a good measurement, it's a good benchmark to see how close am I to that satupradhan stage. Just simply in terms of seeing how clear is my communication. One of the things about Kali Yuga is that you cannot read people's minds. There was a person in London early days, and he had this ability. He didn't work for it, he didn't want it, but somehow he just had it. And he was a teacher, and he told Daddy that as people were coming down the corridor, other teachers or sometimes other members of staff, children, whatever, it wouldn't happen with everyone, but it would happen with some people, and he'd be able to see what was going on in their mind. And he wanted to use this ability to bring souls to Baba. And what do you think Daddy told him? Daddy told him, stop it. It's dangerous. What's going on in the minds of people in Kali Yuga? Not useful for you to know. You yourself are trying to clear stuff and finish the things of the past and all those stories. And here you are picking up other information and filling your head and mind with all of that. Not useful. And he said, what shall I do? Daddy said, you've developed this habit now to look because you're curious and interested. Now you don't do that. You bring Baba in front of you and you stop that. And so in Satyug, we can read each other's minds. Here Baba tells us, don't read anybody's minds. Even for himself, Baba says, I don't want to read your minds. I know what's going on anyway. The point of the story, that when there's cleanliness and purity inside, yes, of course, I can see what you're thinking. You can see what I'm thinking. And there's no variation, no difference between my thoughts, my expression, and my words. Everything is aligned in a very straight way. If I have other motives in my mind, if I have other agendas in my mind, then yes, it becomes dangerous for you to read what's going on. And so I put many different masks on to try and stop you seeing what's there. And so simplicity means clearing everything else. And just that one intention, just simply to be with Baba and to be able to bring others closer to Baba by being an example. Being an example is maybe the easiest way to teach others. Brahma Baba, what did he do? Mama, what did she do? They just simply followed Baba's instructions. Shiv Baba gave instructions, and you heard the Murali a couple of days ago. Baba pulled his intellect and he followed, and that's it. And he became number one. And because the ones who had come in those early days could see in Brahma Baba's life that purity, that power, that generosity, that love, they were inspired to follow and do the same. Mama, they saw this very fashionable young woman suddenly change and become externally very simple, but also internally become very pure, and her purity would shine and it would draw others like a magnet to God, not to herself, but to God. And so, Mama, when you hear her Muralis, very, very straight and simple and clear. Well, how come Baba Smriti's are not as simple and clear? Baba would say, but when the river is flowing, the river flows in one direction. When it's the ocean throws up waves and surges. And so in terms of Baba Smriti, Baba's the ocean, and Baba wants to give us everything. And so Baba Smriti's, the Sakar Smriti's, bring in many things from many directions, because Baba's talking to so many different children. But the Avyakt Smriti's, they're actually very, very clear. Baba takes up a theme, and Baba continues with that theme and clarifies that theme to the extent that the last three lines of Baba's Avyakt Smriti is the summary of the whole Smriti. That's how clear Avyakt Smriti's are. They're profound, but they're very, very clear. And so simple in that sense that they're universal. Everybody loves them. You don't have to say, now you have to become a Brahmin to understand an Avyakt Smriti. Whatever spiritual path a person is following, yes, it needs to be a spiritual path, but if any spiritual path a person is following, and they can understand Avyakt Smriti's, that's because it's a universal language which is very clear, which everybody can understand and relate to. And so, in terms of what's going on in my mind, is it clean? Is it innocent? Is it pure? If somebody were to look into my mind today, what would they see? Would they see a mess? Or would they see everything very clear? I was thinking about Om Shanti and how Baba reminds us of Om Shanti, but actually not just the words taken in that sense, but actually the meaning of Om Shanti. If I stabilize myself in the meaning of Om Shanti, what does it feel like? Actually experiment with it for yourself, even now, for just a moment. What is Om Shanti? For me, it's become a state of mind in which everything is quiet and still. And so very simple, very clear, very clean. And so the natural state of the soul, Baba talks about Om Shanti, the stage of peace, as being the natural, original. In fact, it's also the eternal stage of the soul. And so am I able to keep my mind so simple, so clean, so clear, that within a moment, I can feel Om Shanti. And in fact, it's not just Shanti, which is the original state of the soul. All the other original qualities of the soul are also part of that state of simplicity, cleanliness. Love, when there's just that stage of pure love, nothing adulterated, nothing corrupt, nothing mixed. What is it like at that moment? Again, a very sweet feeling of just everything. Very simple, very clean, no divisions. I love this one, I don't love this one, I like this one, I don't like that one. Whether it's color, race, religion, sanskaras even, but to be able to have that state of simplicity in which I'm able to have that natural, original stage of love for all, how far or how near am I to that stage? Truth, to what extent have I been able to absorb truth from Baba within myself to the point where all the things of illusion, firstly the illusions that I hold about myself, the illusions that I held about God, the delusions that I have about other people, the expectations that I have of other people. To what extent have I been able to allow those just to dissolve by absorbing Baba's truth within myself? And again, you'll see close, far from the Sattva Pradhan stage. And so, again, another way to be able to check it. Each one of those original qualities, peace, love, truth, purity, how do I feel when I am with Baba and I can actually sense and experience that stage in which I, the soul, am completely pure, untainted by even the experiences of life. Never mind the influence of another person, never mind the influence of Ravan. We've been talking about the goddesses here in Madhuban because it was the 9 days of worship of the goddesses. And then the 10th day, the day of victory, the day of victory over Ravan, the killing of the devil. And it's a big celebration and a day which is considered very, very auspicious, and a day in which there's not just all the goddesses, but especially it's the day considered to be the day of Saraswati, the day of wisdom. Kill negativity and you're blessed with wisdom. A state in which the mind is very clean, very pure, the embodiment of purity in which truth can reside. Wisdom is natural. And so, to what extent have I finished all traces of Ravan? The little bit of ego that still remains, the little bit of pain that comes because of ego. You know, when Baba talks about Ravan's kingdom, think about whose kingdom am I in today? Outside, it's the Iron Age. But if I let my intellect go outside and get pulled into the Iron Age, I'm back in the influence of Ravan, and the sign of that is sorrow and pain. And in the simplicity that Baba's asking us to attain, purity, a stage in which there really is no influence of Ravan at all. And the proof of that, the final quality, the happiness. And if I'm not happy, why not? Who's to blame? Is someone to blame? Who's to blame? In bhakti, we used to say, well, it's God who gives sorrow and happiness. So, okay, we know that's not true. In gyan, we still continue thinking that because of this one, I'm unhappy. True? Who thinks that's true? If they were to change their center, if they were to change their teacher, if they were to change their service companions, they would be happier. Yes? Nobody believes that? In Lokic life, they even think, well, maybe if I change my job, maybe if I change my partner, maybe if I change my home, my country. But no. What Baba's children understand is a very basic law of karma. If I'm not happy, it's because I've somehow stepped away from Rama's kingdom, God's influence on me, and stepped into Ravan's kingdom again. Even just a little thought, and I'm out there under the influence of sorrow. And when Baba says, it comes in the Avyakt Muralis and Sakar Muralis, when you understand Srimad and you follow Srimad, not just on the external level of disciplines, but on the inner level of what are the quality of thoughts I should be having, about myself, about others, about service. If I'm following Srimad in that line, the result of this is going to be everything's very easy, everything's very simple, and everything's going to be very comfortable, and I stay in Rama's kingdom. And from the moment that I step out of the boundary of God's Srimad, the line that God has shown me, then stepping out means that there's going to be pain, there's going to be sorrow. And of course, then other things begin to happen as a result of that pain and sorrow. More complications arise. And so when I follow Srimad, it's simple. And when I stop following Srimad, just simply because I've forgotten soul, I've forgotten God, I've forgotten, and I've come back into this, into the skin. And in that state of coming back into body consciousness, then pain, sorrow has again started. And so very, very important to be able to see what are the influences that are working on me, both on an inner level as well as on the external level. And in simplicity, what I learned to do is to keep God's influence working. And in that influence, then yes, that stage of being completely clean, completely pure, because other influences are going to pollute me. Even the influences of my own mind are going to pollute me. Influences of human beings, definitely, of course. I often get asked, what about the influences of the dadis? There's two different ways to approach that. One is to see that they are close to Baba, and so yes, if by seeking their company and seeking their drishti or whatever it may be, I'm coming closer to Baba, then yes, that's what Baba has given us permission for. Follow in the Father's footsteps, and then further down in Avyakt Muralis, Baba said, yes, follow those who are themselves following Srimad. That was a guideline that Baba had given. Who do you follow? You don't have Sakar Baba or Mama. You follow those who are following Srimad themselves. And so if by following them I'm coming closer, that's fine. If by following them I'm enamored by them, and I'm stuck with them, and I'm not coming closer to Baba, then I have to see what's going on, and what is my vision of them, and what is my expectation of them. And so, it's quite a big difference between the two things. And today we don't have access to the dadis in the same way that we used to. Age. Basically, it's age and health that are factors, and maybe even a little bit the fact that the Brahmin family is now so huge, and so the sort of sustenance we used to get is not possible. But Avyakt Baba, Sakar Baba, and the classes are all there, all there, all there. And when Baba says last can go fast, in fact, last ones have more material available than we ever did in early days. Early days we just had Murali and that was it. But the Murali was everything. But today you have a lot of access. And so what are the things that are allowing me to come back to my natural, original state of being? The peace, the love, the truth, the purity, the happiness. And as I come to experience each of these qualities, it becomes easier and easier to let go of everything else. All those other things finish, and I discover that simplicity means the essence of all of these in my life. that which is completely natural, and then that which is going on in my mind and my heart is there in my life. That stage of total simplicity, where everything is aligned, thoughts, words and actions, no different, so you're able to see the sanskars from the actions. Sanskars are deep and hidden away. Thoughts get very quickly revealed through the face. Sanskars are not usually visible through anyone's face. At least that's what I've found. And maybe some are cleverer than me, and looking at somebody's face, they're able to tell the sanskars. But for myself, I would say that it takes me a long time to understand somebody's sanskars. It took me a long time to find out about my sanskars, never mind anyone else's sanskars. But you go on the journey and it becomes clearer and clearer and clearer. And as you do cleaning, more stuff comes out and you realize how much more cleaning you need to do. The thoughts get reflected very quickly on the face. You can see people's mood shift and people's feelings shift. Somebody walks into the room, their face lights up. Somebody else walks into the room and they screw up their brow. It's so clear, so visible. Body language, even that can tell you what's going on in somebody's mind. So thoughts get revealed very easily, but also they get expressed in words. But that stage where my words are reflecting what's in my mind, but more than that, my actions are revealing what's in my sanskars, and that's the stage in which simplicity is at work. No crinks, no little questions, no little bends, no dog's legs. Just everything very straightforward and simple. Baba, Mama, the daddies, Daddy Janki, whatever is going on in her mind, she'll speak about it. And if you've talked to her just a little while earlier, and not so much now, but even a few years ago, you tell her something and you say to her, Daddy, you know, this is really private. I only want to tell you. You know the next thing that used to happen? Some of you know. She'd be coming into class a little while later, and the next thing you know, your whole story is being shared for the class. And transparency, simple, nothing hidden away at the back of her mind. And yesterday she was with a small group and she started talking about one thing, it led to another, it led to another, and she was revealing all sorts of things. But it was just the RCs who were basically with her at the time, so it was safe, and of course she knew she was with a group that was safe. But she was very open about things that I would find difficult to be open about. But for Daddy, what's going on is what gets expressed. But that state in which I've also cleaned out my sanskars. So the sanskars of Kali Yuga, the sanskars of the Copper Age, even the sanskars of the Silver Age, all of that has been cleaned, 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 cleaned. And you're left with just the sanskars of the Satupradhan stage. That is real simplicity. And then in that stage, really truly, what is the effort for service? There is no effort. You've given attention to jnana, understanding things deeply, yoga, applying those things by cleaning out and rooting out whatever is irrelevant and negative and not useful. And your dharana is the natural embodiment of the things that Baba's telling you about. Service is automatic. The problem arises when we haven't done the inside work and then we are talking about service, service, service. And service then becomes really just something which is like a missionary seal. And it's not very comfortable for other people, because then you think you're being passionate about service and they say that you're being forceful in trying to convert them. It comes across in that way. But if who you are is what you are and what you're expressing, then whatever you share is going to be useful to others and they're going to take benefit from it. And your life is the example of Baba's teachings. One of the big, big differences between God's work and the work of the prophets, the sages, the gurus, everything else that's happened, is that when you've got all of them, they've had a handful, or maybe not even a handful. Usually I'm thinking about Christ and the disciples, but sometimes it's not even a handful, it's two or three, who have been with them, who've been trained by them, and who exemplify the things that those people are teaching, preaching. But as time goes on, then of course there's nobody who's actually the example of those teachings. And the current state of affairs is exactly that. And when there was a book being written about Something Beyond Greatness, it was called Something Beyond Greatness. And this is something that a couple of Baba's children decided to do for Daddy's 90th year. When Daddy was about to be 90, we thought that was a big milestone. We had no idea that she'd actually reach 100. But at that time, they were trying to find out from other people, what is their definition of something beyond greatness? And it was difficult for anybody to explain. And Daddy's explanation for that was, when you're in the presence of someone great, then you can feel it and you can respect it and admire it. But when it's something, not just great, but something even beyond greatness, what happens in the presence of that is that others become inspired and are empowered to also become great. And so the role of the Dadis has been to give that inspiration and empowerment, to give greatness to many, many, multi-thousands. And of course the seed is Baba. And people talked about Mandela, people talked about Gandhi, and I don't think I'm saying anything politically incorrect, but after Gandhi, what happened? The history of India is in front of everyone. After Mandela, what happened to the ANC? The history of South Africa is again open and is there available in front of everyone. Modern history, not ancient history. And so Daddy's point was that they had greatness themselves, but they weren't able to make others become the same. And of course it's not just the human being who's giving you the power to achieve greatness yourself, but it's Shiv Baba. What the Dadis are doing, what Brahma Baba did, was connect souls with the source of the highest of everything. And so, when you connect with the highest, what Shiv Baba has done through these amazing instruments is create a community of greatness. So it's not one, not five, not ten, not even 60. It's hundreds. And so what is impressive about Madhuban? That it's thousands. thousands who've been able to achieve greatness in their own life. How? By seeing the example of the daddies. We see what is humility. We see what is truth. We see what is purity. And we say, yes, I would like to be like that also. And so the proof of God's work is that it's not just one or two. It's a community of greatness that has been created. And each one, wherever it is you live, in terms of your family, wherever it is you work, in terms of your colleagues, wherever it is you live in a center, in terms of others around you in the center, Baba has said, make sure you get a certificate of contentment from all of them. And so, it's not enough to say, I'm fine, I'm okay, I'm happy with myself. Or, I know Baba loves me and I know that I'm doing what Baba wants me to do. But are those around me also giving me a certificate? And if they are, yes, I've been a good example. And if they're not willing to give me that certificate, there's something missing that I have to give attention to and sort out. And so it's not one who's a sample, it's each and everyone who's a sample in Baba's community. Baba sometimes uses this word, the divine community. It's the expression that's been translated from the Gita, but the devilish community and the divine community. And so what God comes to do is not just change one or two or ten, but He comes to create a divine community. And so on the one side, that personal work of bringing about transformation, and that's totally personal. It has to be me working with Baba to bring about the changes I need to make. But once that process is well underway, and to whatever extent, even when you change your diet, even if you stop smoking, that becomes an inspiration and an example to those around you. Never mind all the other more subtle things, but even just that much becomes inspiration. And so, at whatever level I am, I can be an inspiration for change for others, transformation. And so the process of transformation continues. But especially at the stage that Baba wants us to be at now, to be able to give inspiration to the world that yes, it is possible to have a life of simplicity, of divinity. This morning you got that little blessing card of simplicity is divinity, which is absolutely true. So when others see you, what is it that they see? And it's very interesting, because there was an Avyakt Murali quite a while ago, not recently, but Baba was talking about how sometimes when people see you, they feel sorry for you. Poor thing. She doesn't go to the cinema, she doesn't go to restaurants. So, are they seeing your renunciation, or are they seeing your fortune? Tyag, renunciation. If whatever I'm doing is visible, just as sacrifice and hard work and a struggle and a battle, why on earth should they be interested? You know, they've got enough problems of their own in Kali Yuga that you're dealing with. They don't want to follow a path where it's going to be a struggle. They really are not interested. But if what you're experiencing is not the tyag, the renunciation, but the fortune that comes out of that, the beauty, the joy, the happiness, the love, the enlightenment, the wonder, the amazement, all the things that you see constantly in the dadis. If that's what my life is, now yes, I am a good example for others. I'm moaning, I'm groaning, I'm complaining. Forget it. So that's not the way to be a sampo. It's not a way to inspire. But, you know, like when people buy rice, and I'm not talking about a little packet of, you know, half a kilo, I'm talking about a sack. When they buy a sack of rice, what they do is they put their hand in and they pull out a few grains, just a few grains. They look at the color, they look at the size, they look at the shape, they smell it, they see what's the fragrance it has. Rice has a very specific, each variety has its own fragrance. And so they judge the whole sack by just a few grains. And so wherever it is, 1, 2, 3, 5 of Baba's children go, that's what people do. They judge the whole organization by the 2 or 3 or 5 who they see. And so if I remember, people are going to judge the organization, and if we're saying that it's God's work, they're going to make an impression, they're going to create an impression in their mind about God from me. Am I a good ambassador for Baba? They're going to judge the whole organization by what they see in me. They're going to see my face, they're going to see what I'm thinking through my eyes, they're going to see my mood, they're going to see the words I'm using. Is it appreciation? Is it gratitude? Is it happiness? Is it love? Or is it complaints and criticism? What is it that they're hearing? And you know, they say that walls have ears. And so I think I'm speaking to one. But I don't know how far the sound is echoing around me. And the walls are absorbing it, but I don't know who else is actually able to hear what it is I say. And so, if I remember, I am Baba's ambassador, I am Baba's messenger, then I think that understanding that others are going to judge Gyan, Baba's knowledge, by what it is they see and hear and experience from one. And then it's not isolated to one place. I go to one place and it's fine to be happy and light and easy with a few people for a few days. But is that my natural state of being? If those people were to see me, not just here, but here, in my own home ground, what would they see here? They would see the interaction I have with others around me here. And are they going to see the same quality here also? Or are they going to see something different? And so, simplicity and truth and expressing through the inner transformation, the experiences that Baba has given me of each one of those original qualities, and then being able to demonstrate those qualities in my life is actually the way to do service. And so every single one is a sample. If your Laukik family isn't in Gyan, you're the sample for them. They judge all the Brahma Kumaris by you. When they see you, they're seeing a Brahma Kumari, Brahma Kumar. And they'll judge everyone in that way. And even if they don't take Gyan, it's okay, because not everybody's going to take Gyan. But they should feel something positive in your presence. And they should feel regard for what it is you are doing. not a rejection, not a criticism, but they should feel that whatever it is you're doing has helped you. Even if it's that much respect and regard, then yes, my transformation is working as it should. If they say, oh, you know, she goes there every morning for meditation, but I don't see anything changing in her. Well, that's not such a good advertisement for Baba. And so they should be able to see the changes. And it's actually one of the reasons why the most difficult people to serve are my family. Because they're not going to listen to me. They're going to see what it is I'm doing. And the second most difficult group of people to serve, maybe even more so than Lokic family, is the Alokic family. Why? Because they see me when I'm under pressure. They see me when there's a lot of work. They see me first thing in the morning without any masks. And so they see me as I am. And are they seeing transformation in me? And so let me be a sample for everyone, not just out there, but in at home, in here, in the yagya. Can I be an example of transformation? And Baba uses another very lovely expression. He says, you are the clocks for the world. You are the hands of time. And seeing you, people will be able to see how close we are to the golden age. And so let there be such transformation that it's actually visible. And so simple does not mean buddhu. Simple does not mean empty. Simple does not mean simpleton. But simple means wisdom and all the other original qualities of the soul. And so it's really something that I need to attain, and I need to do it now. Because if I think about the yagya, then I think about the dadis, and I think that, well, there's not a lot of time left. How will the yagya be without any of the dadis? I don't know. I don't know, full stop. But I do know that it's a big, big signal of time. And so let me take advantage of all the treasures I'm being offered today and use those treasures, especially here in Madhuban. Om Shanti.